All right. Well, God bless you, and please take your Bibles and turn to James chapter 5. Happy birthday, Jane. James chapter 5. The title of my teaching is The Work of Prayer. And what do I mean by that? The work of prayer. Well, first of all, prayer accomplishes God's work. It is effective. And so that's one thing that I mean when I say it's the work of prayer. The second thing is that prayer takes work. It takes some effort. It's labor that must be done. So it not only is effective, it produces work. It does, it energizes, it's effective, but also we have to do some work when we pray. So that's what I mean by the work of prayer. It's very easy to think of prayer as some add-on or something that I have to do to get out of the way and then I can do my work or do other tasks, you know, when really what we need to think about it is that I'm going to start my work in prayer. Everything that needs to get accomplished, I'm going to start with prayer. Martin Luther famously said, I have so much to do that I shall spend the first 3 hours in prayer. Yeah. So that's the attitude that is a more biblical attitude, that prayer is not just some add-on or some something as a last resort, but it's actually a part of our life and our working and what we do. So in James chapter 5, it says in verse 13, is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up, and if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. So let's go back and look at this section of scripture. In verse 13, it says, is any among you afflicted? The word afflicted means, you know, to be enduring some hardship, have enduring trouble, to going through some difficulties. So that's what it means. Is any among you afflicted? And which happens to us time and, you know, every so often. Then it says, complain, you know. Tell everybody else about your troubles. Have the victim mentality, how life is going so bad for you. No, it says, if any of you is afflicted, if you're going through this kind of things, let him pray. What a simple answer to having troubles in your life. Go to God. Go to him in prayer. If you're married, then you can sing songs. Is any among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him. So more prayer in a situation like that. Anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, make him whole, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. And it says, confess your faults or sins one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. And the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. That last phrase in verse 16, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. And the King James has sort of a flavor that it does something, you know, it produces a little bit, you know, it doesn't carry the full meaning of what it should read. The ESV says the prayer of a righteous man has great power as it is working. The NIV says, the prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. See, there's no doubt in it about it. You know, like it produces something, but it may not produce anything. It's actually powerful and effective. That's what it says. And we, as we all know, are righteous in God's sight through the work of Jesus Christ. And so therefore, every one of us, when we pray, it is powerful and effective. Okay. The Greek word for avail means to have force, to prevail, to be of strength. It's used, if you're familiar, in Acts 19:20, where it says, so mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. Okay, it prevailed. And Philippians 4:13, where the words I can do, it's I can prevail in all things through Christ which strengthens me. So the prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. It produces work, okay? It gets things done. So it's not just, oh, maybe it works to some level, but it's effective. Can I say that often enough? It's powerful and effective, okay? Now, verse 17 says, Elijah, speaking, was a man subject to like passions as we are. He was just like us. He got hungry, he got angry, he got discouraged, he was afraid. He had all kind of emotions and life situations that you and I go through. He was not a super believer like, you know, we might tend to think of him. He was just a man of like passions as we are. And it says, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. So despite the fact that he was just passions and emotions and everything like we do, his prayer was effective. See what is being communicated here? All the emotions we feel do not limit us in our effectiveness in prayer, right? So if I'm discouraged, is my prayer not effective? Of course not. It's effective when I go to God in prayer. If I'm angry and I want to go to God in prayer to handle that, is it effective? Yes, it is. That emotion does not limit the effectiveness of the prayer. I can go to God in prayer in all those types of emotions that I have, because my righteousness, see, we're righteous because of Christ. Our approach to God is not on how we feel or don't feel, whether we have the right, frame of mind. It's because Jesus Christ has given us the access, so that's why our prayer can come, we can go before God in prayer, and it'll be powerful and effective. Okay. We'll come back to a little bit more of the effectiveness of prayer in a little bit, but the other part, as I mentioned, was that prayer takes effort. It is work. Okay. If you will just read the church epistles, I'm talking just Romans to Titus and Philemon, just go through them, and you take the time to look at what God's word says about, number one, how often or how much somebody should pray, and number two, how much effort a person should exercise in their prayer, the intensity. So the frequency or the intensity of prayer that we should do, you come up with some pretty astounding information. Words like without ceasing are used, okay, many times, without ceasing. Words like instant in prayer, which means to be persistent in prayer, are used. Words like strive together, struggle, which means to struggle. Words like praying always are used many times, okay? Words like persevering and watching, being alert, are used. Words like praying upon every remembrance with joy are used, right? Always laboring fervently is used. Always for you all is used. Night and day praying exceedingly. These are the kind of words when it talks about prayer. They're not like, well, when I have a few seconds here or there, or, you know, when you have time, when everything else is done, then pray. No, the words used talk about a frequency, all the time praying without ceasing, and an intensity that it's work that you put into it, okay? And we'll understand, as we go on, we'll try to understand why that is. Why does prayer take work? Let's go to Romans chapter 1. When I was a young believer, I didn't feel like praying many times, and I would think, well, God's not going to hear me because I have the wrong attitude, which was really a wrong thinking on my part, because it does take work. And so just like some things you don't feel like doing in life and you put the effort into it because you know it's going to be profitable, you do them because you know the end result. Same thing with prayer. Even if I don't feel like it and I go to God in prayer, it will be effective, because that's what God's word says. So I just need to discipline myself to do it. In Romans chapter 1, Paul says in verse 8, "First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing, I make mention of you always in my prayers." Without ceasing, always in my prayers. Okay. Now, if you think about what else do you do without ceasing, well, you can think about breathing, right? I have to breathe all the time. In fact, 1 Thessalonians 5:17 tells us to pray without ceasing. And again, Martin Luther said, "To be a Christian without prayer is no more possible than to be alive without breathing." Yeah. So let me say that again. He said, "To be a Christian without prayer is no more possible than to be alive without breathing." He understood how we are to pray without ceasing. Okay. So let's keep reading here in Romans chapter 1. So Paul says he prayed without ceasing, making mention of you always in my prayers, making a request if by any means now at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come to you. So that's what he was requesting in his prayer. "For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end that you may be established, that is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith, both of you and me. Now I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I purpose to come unto you." He really had a desire to see them, but was led hitherto, or was hindered. Okay, "That I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles. I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and the unwise. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are Rome also." He was prepared. He knew he wanted to go and preach the gospel. He knew it was God's will that they hear God's word, but he was waiting for God's timing. And up till now, he had been hindered. So what did Paul do? Quit? No. It says he still continued to pray without ceasing always. And when we are convinced that something is God's will in our lives, like here Paul was convinced of the gospel he had to preach, then we should continue to pray until we receive an answer. Last week I was talking to Ashish, as you know, the man I teach in India, and he'd been wanting to go to Nepal for a while, and we'd started prayer about it last year, but he just knew it wasn't the right time. He kept praying about it. And another thing he needed to have the right paperwork. He needed to have his COVID paperwork and everything. And just last week, he told me he got a notice in the mail. He hasn't been vaccinated. He got notice in the mail by the government that he had full vaccinations. He got paperwork to it. He got his first, second, and he said even the booster was listed on there. He said, "First I thought that they had, this was a scam of some sort, but he got an email, he verified everything. He's got full paperwork to be able to go to Nepal now, to do what he needs to do." So there's hindrances and things in life, but you just keep, if you know something is God's will, you just keep praying until the answer comes. In Romans chapter 15, so Paul there, a great example of prayer. Romans chapter 15. In verse 30, he says, "Now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake and for the love of the Spirit, that you strive together with me in your prayers to God for me, that I may be delivered from them that do not believe in Judea, and that my service which I have for Jerusalem may be accepted of the saints, that I may come unto you with joy by the will of God and may with you be refreshed. Now the God of peace be with you all. So he wanted the saints to strive together. Now those are strong words, right? And the word strive means to struggle. Struggle in prayer for me. Okay. Now, the word struggle, the tendency may be to think that the struggling is because God is not listening to us. That is not the point. The struggle is not because God is not listening to us. The struggle is to be faithful to do it, you know, to strive. If you commit to praying for somebody, then you may have a struggle doing it because things may crowd out your prayer time, right? The striving to be consistent and to say, okay, Paul asked me for prayer, I'm going to pray for him. Oh, but something's come up, you know, I have demands, I got to get to work early today, blah, blah, blah. I'm tired, I don't want to stay up late, I don't want to get up early. There's a struggle there to make that time to pray. So the Word of God talks about laboring and struggling and striving. It's just because there are challenges, there are things that would hinder our prayer life, and so we have to make the time to do it. And it's not because after 5 hours, God finally pays attention to us. No, he immediately hears us as soon as we begin to pray. So the struggling is in that being faithful, okay? To make your time and effort to do it. Look at Luke chapter 22. Of course, the greatest example of prayer is the Lord Jesus Christ himself, who, by the way, even after his resurrection, ever lives to make intercession for us. He didn't stop after he was raised from the dead and seated at God's right hand. So the greatest example of somebody who strove in prayer, who worked hard at prayer, is Jesus Christ. And in the record in the garden, when just before he was taken prisoner, we'll just read a little bit here in verse 39, Luke 22:39. And he came out and went as he was wont to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples also followed him. And when he was at the place, he said unto them, pray that you enter not into temptation. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast, and kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. And it says, and being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. And his sweat was as it were great drops of blood falling down to the ground. Now that's a pretty intense prayer time. Jesus Christ said, you know, of God, that God always heard his prayer. So where was the struggle happening? Was it because God was not listening to him? Of course not. He was in a very, very trying situation, a lot of pressure. He was about to give up his life. And when you're confronted with challenging situations in our lives, the tendency is often to try to like, oh, I got to jump right in and fix this. You know, I got to go and try to solve it. What resources can I bring to bear on this situation? And it takes a struggle to just calm down and go to God in prayer. Okay. It takes an effort. Like, he's about to be taken prisoner. The tendency might be, well, let me get out of here. Let me escape. But no, he had to discipline himself and struggle in prayer, and says it was like drops of blood falling down to the ground. And you know the pressure situation got to his disciples, because if you read in the parallel records, they fell asleep. They couldn't struggle in prayer with him. They couldn't handle it. They couldn't take the time to do it because the pressure was too great for them, but Jesus Christ did. See? So the struggling, the striving, this effort that's involved in prayer is because there's so many things that are trying to stop us from doing it. Let's go to Colossians 4. You know, when situations are intense, the mind tends to race, the emotions get involved, panic may set in, and to stop and pray at those times can be a real struggle. But that is the most needful thing to do. to go to God, get his answer. In Colossians chapter 4, verse 12, it says of Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, salutes you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers that you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. That's quite a commendation for this man, Epaphras. He was a, he was a servant of Christ. And he labored. How he worked hard was not by, you know, making food for the people of the church or doing other things, which are all wonderful. I mean, those can be ways you can work. But here his prayer life is described as a fervent labor, hard labor in praying for the people in that congregation, okay? And that's quite a commendation from God's word for a man. We might ask ourselves, can I describe my prayer life that way? And if not, maybe I have some growing up to do, you know? Well, as I, let's go to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. Perhaps one of the reasons people are unwilling or put a lot of effort into prayer is because while you're sitting there in your room or wherever you are praying, it seems like nothing is getting done, right? I mean, you're just sitting there in a room or wherever you are in the woods and like, you don't see any effort. Whereas if I'm like, you know, say I have a project to do and I start hammering and putting things together, I can see some effort progressing and I can put more effort into that now because I see I've already got the 2x4s up and the sheetrock's next, you know. But when you're sitting there in prayer, you're like, is anything even happening? Is anything going on? Well, we have to take God's word for it at that time and realize that it's effectual. It's effectual. It is doing work. And perhaps we're going to look at a couple of records in the book of Daniel, briefly look at two records in the book of Daniel. We'll see that there are things happening, you know, that we don't fully understand. In Ephesians chapter 6, it says in verse 10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but, okay, it's not flesh and blood, the senses, people, the things we see. Here's where the wrestling's coming from, against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places or heavenly places. So that's a lot of intense pressure in the heavenly kingdom, you know, the heavenly places that is putting pressure on us. See, that's where the wrestling is. And hence why we may have a struggle sometimes just to take the time to pray, okay? And so God's word then exhorts the believers to put on the whole, verse 13, take unto you the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always, with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, that's speaking in tongues, praying the Spirit, and watching thereunto, or being alert thereunto, with all perseverance and supplication for only the saints you like. No, all the saints, okay? So praying for one another, I mean, you know, you can literally spend all day in prayer without any, you know, without breaking a sweat in one sense. In other words, there's lots of things to pray for, okay? And God's word here is exhorting, we want to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, because the struggle is in the spiritual realm, okay? And we can't fight spiritual things with physical means, right? And speaking in tongues, that's prayer by the Spirit, putting on the armor of God, those are spiritual methods of being involved in this. Okay. So let's look at these two records briefly in the book of Daniel, Daniel chapter 9, which sort of draw back the curtain a little bit. Now, that isn't to say that every time, you know, we're going in prayer that this is exactly what's happening, but they do draw back the curtain a little bit on prayer and some of the things going on in the spiritual kingdoms. In Daniel chapter 9 is the first record. And we're not going to read all this. You can do it on your own time. But in Daniel chapter 9, verse 1, it says, "In the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, of the seed of the Medes, which was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books the number of the years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem." So Daniel had been reading the book of Jeremiah, and he came to understand some things about it. And so he said in verse 3, "And I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplication with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. And I prayed unto the Lord my God and made my confession," and on it goes. Okay, so the prayer continues all the way up to verse 19. But let's pick up the record in verse 18 here. He said, "O my God, incline thine ear and hear, open thine eyes and behold our desolations and the city which is called by thy name," referring to Jerusalem, "for we do not present our supplications before thee for our righteousness, but for thy great mercies. O Lord, hear, O Lord, forgive, O Lord, hearken and do, defer not for thine own sake, O my God, for thy city and thy people are called by thy name." And here, now let's pay attention here in verse 20 and 21. "And while I was speaking and praying and confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel and presenting my supplication before the Lord my God for the holy mountain of God." Yeah, yay. While I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of the evening oblation, and he informed me and talked with me and said, "O Daniel, I am now come forth to give thee skill and understanding." See, twice he said, while I was speaking, while I was in this prayer time, Gabriel came and he touched him and he said, "I'm come to give you understanding." He says in verse 23, "At the beginning of thy supplication, the commandment came forth, and I am come to show thee, for thou art greatly beloved. Therefore, understand the matter and consider the vision." See, soon as Daniel began to pray, the commandment to Gabriel came from God. Okay. Soon as he began to pray, and right here it says, while he was still in prayer, there's Gabriel. He appears. And he comes to give him some information, which you can read in the rest of the record. Okay. Now let's go to the next chapter, Daniel chapter 10. And we'll see a different situation. You know, that happens to us sometimes. Sometimes our prayers are like, before you're even done praying, you can answer, right? That's happened many, many times. And then sometimes you go on for months, years, before you get an answer. But here in Daniel chapter 10, it says, "In the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia." Now pay attention to that. Who's the king of Persia? Cyrus. Okay. "Cyrus, king of Persia, a thing was revealed unto Daniel, whose name was called Belteshazzar. And the thing was true, but the time appointed was long, and he understood the thing and had understanding of the vision. In those days, I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. Okay, we'll see later that he was praying while he was doing this. He was mourning 3 full weeks. "I ate no pleasant bread, neither came flesh nor wine in my mouth, neither did I anoint myself at all till 3 weeks were fulfilled. Okay, now you'll notice in the scriptures people do this prayer and fasting thing. Again, prayer with fasting or denying yourself certain pleasures of life is not because God will hear you better, but people will often do them for focused attention, right? Like a person, a Christian may decide, well, I'm going to go without TV for a week. I'm not going to watch any TV so I can give myself to prayer. You're kind of fasting from the TV. You know, you're not letting any distraction take you away from your concerted power prayer time. That's what Daniel was doing. It isn't like if I watch TV now, God's not going to hear me, or if I eat and have pleasant food, God's not going to hear me. It's none of those things. It's because I want to have focused effort, right? An athlete playing in the Olympic Games is going to be very strict in his diet because he was going to have focused effort coming up, okay? So here's what Daniel's doing. He's just focusing on getting an answer. So he was doing it for how long? 3 full weeks, okay? That's not three partial, 3 full weeks, okay? Now, let's, where do we want to go next? Okay, 3 full weeks were fulfilled. Okay, let's go down to verse 10. And behold, a hand touched me, which set me upon my knees and upon the palms of my hands. And he said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved. Hey, sounds just like chapter 9. Understand the words that I speak unto thee, and stand upright. For unto thee am I now sent. And when he had spoken this word unto me, I stood trembling. Then said he unto me, Fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were what? Heard. Thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words, or because of your words. I am come to you because of your words. Your words were heard the very first day that you began to do this. Okay. They just didn't get heard now, 21 days later, 3 weeks later. They were heard the very first day. Okay. But then this messenger gives the reason why it's taken 21 days. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 1 and 20 days. So that's 21 days. How many days in 3 weeks? 21 days, right? That was the 3 weeks, full weeks that he was praying and fasting. 21 days later, it says that prince of Persia, or of the kingdom of Persia, withstood me 21 days. But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me. Michael is an archangel. And I remained there with the kings of Persia. This should literally read, for I was left there with the kings of Persia. Now, we read earlier that Cyrus is the king of Persia. That's referring to the earthly king. Clearly, we're talking about spiritual kingdoms here going in the background here, right? This messenger could not get to Daniel because the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood him, okay, for 21 days. And then Michael came and helped him. And then verse 14 says, Now I am come to make thee understand what shall befall thy people in the latter days, for yet the vision is for many days. Okay? If you look at verse later on, down at verse 20, the same messenger said to Daniel, Then said he, Knowest thou whereof I come unto thee? And now will I return to fight with the prince of Persia. And when I am gone forth, lo, the prince of Grecia shall come, but I shall show thee that which is noted in the scriptures of truth. So again, he's explaining some conflict going on in the spiritual kingdoms of the, you know, that he had to deal with, this messenger in coming to give this information to Daniel for which he was praying. So if we compare Daniel chapter 9 and Daniel chapter 10, we read that in both cases, the command was said to the angel immediately, right? Soon as he started praying, God gave the command, all right, get going, go give this information to Daniel. In both cases, the command was sent forth because Daniel was in prayer. Okay. In one case, in Daniel chapter 9, the response came immediately. Okay. In the other one, it took 21 days. Okay. In the second case, the resistance was not due to some fault of Daniel's prayer. You know, he didn't pray hard enough, or he wasn't spiritual enough, or any of those things, but what was going on in the spiritual kingdoms. Okay. Now, we might ask ourselves, what would have happened if Daniel stopped praying after 1 week, or 2 weeks, or 20 days? You know, what would have happened? We don't know. God's word doesn't tell us, but we do read we're to pray without ceasing, don't we? We are to read that we do read that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, and that we should put on the whole armor of God and persevere in prayer. Those are things we do know. So those are the things that we have to keep in our minds, okay? So the scriptures are very clear that prayer takes effort. It takes work. In fact, it can be very intense effort. It's not always convenient to do, and there are many tasks that, you know, in life that we don't feel like doing, that we do them, even if they're not convenient. So it is with prayer. It may be a struggle to do prayer, make that time for us to do it, but God's word assures us that there is great benefit for doing it, right? It's effectual. It produces results. It gets work done. And that we should be also very clear in our minds that the effort involved in prayer is not because God doesn't hear us, okay? We're not trying to talk to him enough until he finally listens, okay? That is not the scriptures. He hears us right away. When we're speaking in tongues, it's immediately heard. In fact, God's word says he delights in our prayers. We have bold, confident access to his throne, and he welcomes us there. How many times do you hear in manifestations, come unto me, come unto me, come unto me? Okay. So we should be very clear in our minds that the effort is not because God doesn't hear us, but because we have spiritual conflicts going on, we have struggles going on in our life, and just disciplining, whatever it takes to be able to make that time to pray. God repeatedly asks us to come in prayer, to use that access we have been given. We also know that when we pray in the Spirit, it is according to God's will, right? And we are always heard when we do things according to God's will. What we don't always know is why the answer is taking time. We don't always know what's going on in the spiritual world as we pray. I mean, God may choose to reveal that or not, but there are plenty of things we do know. We should focus on what we do know. We have bold and confident access to God, so we should use our approach, pray without ceasing, knowing that we will prevail because our prayers are powerful and effective, as God's word says. So, Heavenly Father, thank you for the amazing access you have given to us, and thank you, Father, that with the coming of Holy Spirit, you provided a wonderful new way to pray for us with prayer with the Spirit. Thank you, Father, that you delight in our prayers, that we can come to you in every situation. And thank you, Father, that we have an open ear that for all of life's struggles. And may we continue to grow in our prayer life, Father, and to look to you in every situation like Epaphras did, and Paul, and Daniel, and Jesus Christ, all these wonderful examples of prayer for us. Help us to grow in our faithfulness, to come to you in these situations, Father, and thank you that you are always listening, and we thank you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Oh, you're welcome.